go ahead and be seated. You know, the Passover absolutely was the feast of all feasts. And thousands had come to Jerusalem to worship and celebrate. And Jesus was looking forward to this day. He had spent his entire life for the fulfillment of this holy week. We find over there in the book of Luke 9:51, it says, "It came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." In the book of Luke 13:22, it says, "Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he went, always pressing on toward Jerusalem." So today we honor his triumphal entry. He knew who he was. He knew why he was sent. He knew that his mission would be fulfilled. He identified with mankind so that mankind could be identified with him. See, they were looking for a king. They had all sorts of problems. They had all sorts of difficulties. They thought that he had come to just overcome the Roman Empire. Little did they know that that was not his purpose. He overcame, all right. He overcame death, hell, and the grave for them. And the Bible says that you and I now, because we're identified with him, we also are overcomers. Thank God, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith in him. Have you got faith in him today? Have you got confidence in him today? Well, thank God, I'm looking at a congregation of overcomers. I'm looking at a congregation of more than conquerors in and through him that loved us. Woo, glory to God. Thank God for that. And so we've been doing a little series called Our True Identity. Jesus identified with us. We identify with him. He that has been joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And I've discovered this, that probably the greatest area of mind renewal that we need is to get our mind renewed to our true identity. I mean, people live and people die and they still don't know who they are. You know, the world will tell you, you are because of your past. You are because of what you've experienced. You are what you are because of what's happened to you. And people have this attitude, well, you know what? If you knew what happened to me, you would know why I am the way that I am. But how many of you know, if they knew what happened to Jesus, he could change everything that happened to them in the past. Romans, the 5th chapter, it says this, Romans 5:20. It says, I'll read it here. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, the grace of God did much more abound." Did you know that God's work in us far exceeds any damage done to us by Adam's fall? Oh, glory to God. Say that with me. God's work in me far exceeds any damage done to me in Adam's fall. You know, another popular excuse that people use is, well, you know, it's because I am what I am because where I grew up and how I grew up. My daddy never took me to church. And, you know, my dad, matter of fact, my dad was mean. Now, not every one of our fathers were mean. But, you know, I grew up in a Catholic home, went to private Catholic schools my entire life until college. And, you know, my dad didn't grow up the same way that we grew up. He grew up basically a Methodist. And thank God he was a good man, but he never took us to church. He made provision for us to go to church. What I'm saying is this, whatever your past is, whether you had a good dad, a bad dad, or whether Papa was a Rolling Stone, whatever the case might be, when you get born again, you get re-fathered. Amen. Somebody says, but Pastor Mark, I was born in a living hell. I mean, that sounds like the song Michael McDonald, Taking It to the Streets. Somebody didn't get that. But anyway, I was born in this living hell. Well, then you need to get born again. And when you get born again, you get refathered. You know, Jesus had a personal relationship with the Father. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. You see him in John 17, right before he went to the cross, his high priestly prayer, lifting up his voice and saying, Father, Abba, Father. Well, thank God you and I have the same Father. And you and I can have the same relationship with our Abba Father that Jesus did. You know, I love what Romans 8 says in verse 7, 15 through 17 in the Message. It says, the resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life, but it's adventurously expectant. I love that. Greeting with a childlike faith, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is and we know who we are, Father and children, and know we are not going to get, and we know that we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. Oh, thank God He's our very own Father. And we are His very own children. You know, that's a good way to start out your prayers. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I thank you that I am a part of your family. It is, in fact, the Father and His family. I thank you that you are my very own Father, and I am your very own child. And I let my request be made known unto you this day. Amen. Glory to God. We are not nobodies in Him. We are somebodies in Him. You're somebody to Him, praise the Lord, and you are somebody in Him. Amen. I want to ask you today, are you glad you're saved?
Yes.
You know, if you're not born again, you can get born again.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible talks about that right now is the day of salvation. Right now is the day of deliverance. Amen. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, amen, and you confess Him with your mouth, He will come into your life. Oh, praise God. Thank God for that. Amen?
Amen?
You can be saved from sin. You can be saved from hell. And you can be saved from whatever was running in your natural family. Not only that, but you can be saved from your own self. I like what Paul said. I was crucified with Christ. One translation says that Christ took me to the cross with Him and I died there with Him. The Message translation of Galatians 2 says this. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God and it didn't work. Can anybody testify to that? Thank God we don't have a legalistic gospel. We have a gospel of grace. Amen? And so he says, you know, I tried to line up and please God, but it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so I could be God's man. I quit being a lawman so I could be God's man. Amen. Christ showed me how, enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with Him. Indeed, I've been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm not going to go back on that. How many of you are not going to go back on that? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, the anointed one, and His anointing, living on the inside of you, keeping you alive, enabling you to breathe. Glory to God. Giving you a pep in your step. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The expectation of the manifest presence of God showing up in your life. That's who Christ is in you, and that who is Christ to you. Amen. Say it with me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If any man be in Christ, what is he? He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Philip's translation says it this way. He becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Dad Hagen said it this way. He said, you look a whole lot better now that you're in Christ than before you were in Christ. Can you testify to that? I mean, when I was 21, 22 years old, I looked like I was about 80. Sin had run its course on me. But oh, thank God, when the Zoe kind of life came in me in March of 1975, it lit me up on the inside, and it changed my countenance, changed my path, and what He's done for me, He will do for you. Hallelujah! Glory to God. So understand this, that God put into Christ everything He wanted you to have. He put into Jesus everything that He wanted you to have. It's the same life. It's the same life. It's the same life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. As the Father had life in Himself, so has He given the Son to have life in Himself. That word life there is Zoe, which means the God kind and God quality of life. So that life was in Him. And then these wonderful words from John 10 says this, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have this Zoe God kind and God quality of life. That's why I've come, that you might have it and have it to the full till it overflows and in abundance. Amen. And so I think it would behoove us and really encourage us to pay great attention to the life of God that's on the inside of us. This life is in you. It will enlighten your mind. I said it will enlighten your mind. This life that is on the inside of you will cause His healing power to be made manifest in your mortal flesh. This life will make you quick. This life will make you bright. This life will cause you to be above and not beneath. I'm talking about emotionally. Above and not beneath, intellectually. When I received the life of God, I went from 4 F's and a D minus on my first report card as a senior in high school to college to, well, glory to God, B pluses. Amen. I mean, that's quite a graduation right there. Somebody says, how in the world did you get 4 F's and a D minus? Not paying attention. And you know, a lot of people in life are getting F's. They're getting D minuses. Why? Because they're not paying attention. Paying attention to what? Paying attention to the life of God that's on the inside of them. He did not give us His life so that we could just kind of casually go through life and do a 9-to-5 and just kind of barely make it. No, no, no. He didn't come that we would exist. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The life of God manifesting in your body, manifesting in your mind, manifesting in your marriage. The life of God manifesting in your finances. How about this? The life of God manifesting in the San Francisco Bay Area, where they say there is no help for them in God. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for us. You are the glory and You are the lifter up of our heads. Woo, glory to God. You can get up in the morning and He can change your countenance. And you can hope Thou in God. And you can praise Him, for He is the health of your countenance. He's your help in a time of need. He's your financier in a time of debt. He's your healer in a time of sickness. Say in me, I got the life of God in me. I've got His life. I got His nature. I got his ability. I've got the life of God in me. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. So cultivate and attend to and pay attention to this life that he's come to give you. Hallelujah. Think about it. Talk about it. Declare it. Recognize this life in you. Acknowledge his life in you consistently. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And as you do, the life that's on the inside of you will become more real to you. And you will see his life show up in every area of your life. Amen. Say to me, I'm going to pay attention to this life that he came to give me. So God put into Christ everything he wanted you to have. The same life, the same blessing, the same victory. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, if you can read it, ready, read. Ephesians 1. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, I love what one translation says. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his very own, giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. Understand this, that your identity is affecting your destiny. Your identity is affecting your outcome. It certainly is. And the devil challenges your identity. And if he can successfully challenge your identity, he can have an effect on your destiny. He can hinder it. And you know, that's why a lot of people do a lot of stupid, crazy things. Trying to be something they're not. Or trying to be someone they are not. You know, if Jesus was challenged, if the enemy challenged his identity, you know he's going to challenge yours. That's just basics right there. He challenged his identity in a time of temptation in the wilderness. He said, if you're the Son of God, do this and do that. If you're the Son of God. So what Jesus did is he just spoke the word of God back to those lies and those temptations of the evil one. And understand this. He's given you 66 books that when the challenger comes, you can open up your mouth and you can challenge the challenger with the life-changing word of the living God. It's a sword of the Spirit. The Bible says when you take that sword, he will run from you as in terror. And so your confession of your identity will affect your destiny. It will affect your outcome. You are what the Bible says you are. You have what the Bible says you have. You can do what the Bible says you can do. Now here's a statement that I heard. I was listening to Mark Hankins this week. And he quoted someone, I didn't get the author, but I want to put the quote up here. And I want to talk about it for just a little bit this morning. Notice this quote. That Paul's epistles, or we could say it this way, Paul's revelation. Did not Paul have a revelation? Oh man, he had a revelation. He said Paul's epistles contain the thoughts that Jesus carried away from this world unuttered. Now let's keep that up there. Paul's epistles contain the thoughts that Jesus carried away from this world unuttered. Somebody said, well, I thought Jesus did his job. He did his job all right. He taught his disciples. He mentors his disciples. But understand this, that his disciples were not quite in a position to hear everything that he had to say. I mean, they were struggling with the fact that he was going to die. They were struggling with the fact that he was going to be raised from the dead. Come on, somebody. So Jesus basically said, and I'll read it to you in John 16, in verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them or to take them now or to grasp them now. Later, but not now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. The whole truth, the full truth. For he will not speak of his own message on his own authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father, and he will give you the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. He says he will honor and glorify me because he will take of and receive and draw upon what is mine and will reveal, declare, and disclose, and transmit it to you. That's what happened when the Apostle Paul was caught up. That's what happened when he had glorious visitations from the Word of God. God began to transmit. He began to disclose, and he began to reveal Christ in you, the hope of glory. He began to reveal that you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He began to reveal to Paul, glory to God, you have redemption through the blood of Jesus, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, he began to show Paul what happened from the cross to the throne and in the raising of Jesus from the dead. That's why I encourage you to look in the Word of God and look at every in Christ scripture you can find, in whom every scripture you can find, and meditate on that and live in the Pauline epistles, and the eyes of your understanding will absolutely be flooded with light. You will not be the same person. So in paraphrasing this, Jesus is basically saying, I got many things to tell you, but I can't tell you now. I got a lot of things to say, but you're struggling with some things. But one day the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to move on you, and he will take all that I've done for you and he will make it a reality. Oh, glory to God. Making your redemption a reality. Here's what I learned. I learned a long time ago that confessing God's word is one way to make your redemption a reality. Way back in 1974, I got a hold of some truths that literally set me free. The in him, in Christ scriptures. And I began to say them and declare them on a consistent basis. And it changed my life forever. If you want to make your redemption a reality, if you want Jesus to become more real in your life, look into the perfect law of liberty. Believe it and speak it and act on it, and it will cause your life to be completely turned around. Here's what Philemon 6 says. Let's read Philemon 6 together. Everyone read. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now let's keep that up just for a moment. That the communication of your faith. How many of you know you have faith? Yes. Point to yourself and say, I have faith.
I have faith.
Say this real strong with me. I have a measure.
I have a measure.
I have the measure.
I have the measure.
Of mountain moving faith. And so understand this. When he talks about your faith, he's talking about everyone that's born again has faith. It's living on the inside of you. So he says here that the communication of your faith may become effectual. Now, what would a good definition of the word effectual mean? Well, I like what Jerry Savelle said many years ago. He said that the word effectual could mean divinely energized. Or another way we could say it is that your faith would become empowered, or that your faith that's on the inside of you would be so divinely energized that things in your life, the landscape of your life, will change. Amen. Now notice this, that the communication of your faith may become divinely energized. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now notice with me the word acknowledging. The word acknowledging literally means by the confessing or the professing of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Amplified says that the precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours, our identification with Christ Jesus and unto His glory. So confessing God's Word is one way for you to acknowledge your identity in Christ. And so I came here this morning just to encourage you. I came here this morning to exhort you. Declare your identity in Him. Declare who you are in Him. Declare that you're the righteousness of God in Him. Declare that you are redeemed in Him. Declare that you are complete in Him. Now listen to this statement. When you know who you are in Him, it's impossible for you to have an inferiority complex. I'm going to say it over on this side. When you know who you are in Him, it's impossible for you to look at yourself as a backseat second-class citizen. There ain't no second-class citizens. There ain't no backseat believers. There are believers that are in the front seat, seated with Him in heavenly places, joint seating with the Anointed One and His anointing. Amen. No. No identification crisis. We are identified with Him. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. And so what we want to do in our lives, we want to carry ourselves that way. We don't want to get around people that might have more money than we do, or might have more cars than we do, might have a nicer house than we do, and feel inferior just because they may have more. How many of you know that things are subject to change? Oh, I just heard the organ right now. I said, things are subject to change. Life is not about money. Life is not about cars. Life is not about houses. But I'm telling you what, He has no problem blessing your socks off when you put Him first. When you honor Him, He will cause, glory to God, that which you need to come into your life. Amen. So don't put your face down on the ground. Just because, listen, don't ever let your struggle identify you. I'm going to say that again. Don't ever let your struggle identify you. Don't ever let a doctor's report identify you. Well, you're not going to be able to go there. You're not going to be able to do this because you have asthma. Well, I'm telling you what, according to the Word of God, I'm healed. There may be symptoms of asthma, not with me, but in a person's life. Glory to God. But thank God, He causes me to have breath, and He causes me to have fresh air. Hallelujah. Don't let Wall Street identify who you are. Come on, somebody. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and you're not beneath. Well, we've just run these lab tests, and the blood shows this, and the blood shows that. Thank God for lab tests. Thank God for medical science. But oh, thank God, we've got new blood. Hallelujah. We've got a new report. Whose report will you believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Get happy in the house today. You see, they have this readout, but we've got this readout. And in this readout, it says you're the blessed. This readout says you're the healed. This readout says you're the prosperous. This readout says that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Glory to God. Some of you have been told you'll never make it. You didn't grow up in the right environment. But thank God your environment has changed when you come into the family of God. Well, Dad didn't have anything. Mom didn't have anything. Grandma and Grandpa didn't have anything. But oh, thank God we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the heir of all things. And we are in Him and He is in us. Woo! No second-class citizens in this place. Come on. We're walking strong. In Him we live. In Him we move. And in Him we have our being. We are not defined by this world's failing system. No more than Jesus was defined by this world's failing system. We are defined by Almighty God. We are stamped with His approval. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We are strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Woo, glory to God. Somebody shout amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think what was on PT got on me. Thank you, Lord. Declare your identity in Him. When you know who you are in Christ, it's you cannot have an inferiority complex. You fit well at any country club in the United States of America. Well, they won't let me in. I don't have enough money. I tell you, He's the way maker. He can make a way when man says there ain't no way. I want to talk to you in closing about the power of I am. Everyone say, I am, I am, I am. Listen to this principle. Whatever words follows I am will eventually find you. What do you mean? Whatever you follow I am with, you're handing it an invitation. You're opening the door. You're giving it permission to be in your life. So if I say, I'm so broke, I'm so in debt, I'm inviting struggle and I'm inviting lack. If you say, I'm so tired, fatigue comes looking for you. If we say, wow, we're so overweight, calories will come looking for you. Don't ever say, I'm so unfortunate. I never get any good breaks. You're inviting disappointment. How about this one? I'm so old. I'm so wrinkled. I'm so worn out. You're inviting oldness. It's just as easy for you to say, thank God He's renewing my youth. I'm saying that at 73. I'll be saying that at 83. I'll be saying that at 90. He's renewing Mark Thomas's youth just like the eagles. We're soaring with eagles. We're not dying with beagles. We're soaring with eagles. I used to have a beagle anyway. Don't invite what you don't want. Listen, folks. Rather say things like this. I'm young. I'm energetic. I'm vibrant. I'm radiant. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm telling you, that is one of the best anti-aging treatments you could ever take. And you know what? It costs Him everything, but it costs you nothing. Don't invite what you don't want. Don't call for what you don't desire. If you want strength, don't call weak. If you want joy, don't call sorrow. If you want health, don't call sick. Remember this, Faith Church. Faith will always call those things which be not as though they were. The thing that may be not right now is you feel weak. But call those things which be not as though they were. Call yourself strong. Your body feels weak. You don't deny that. But you can call yourself strong, and the strength of God will empower you, and the strength of God will overcome the weakness in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying some of you need to send out some new invitations. Start now. Don't get condemned. You know, just repent. Just say, Lord, my words have been stout against you. I'm sorry. You know, it's like a ship. Anybody ever been on a big ocean liner? Anybody ever been on a cruise? Well, when that cruise ship or that ocean liner wants to take a turn, notice with me, the governor, the captain, has got the ability to do so. But he doesn't just turn it like that, like some of you turn off of exits. No. He starts turning it. And that ship then begins to turn little by little, degree by degree. Amen? And so if you've got off course, don't get condemned. No, you're the governor. You're the governor. Your tongue is the rudder. And you can turn things around just simply by declaring what God's word says about you every day. Everyone say, every day,
every day,
every day.
Every day.
And though things may not change overnight, if you'll stay stable and stay consistent in the word of God, things will change. Does that encourage you today?
Yes.
Say it with me. Things are changing. Things are changing for me. So here's what I encourage you with. Just go through the day saying, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Blessings come looking for me. I may not feel up to par, but I say I'm healthy. I say I'm strong. Strength is tracking me down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say it again. I'm blessed and I'm strong and I'm talented. I'm wise and I'm disciplined. I'm focused and I'm prosperous. Jesus hears our words. He's the apostle and he's the high priest of your confession. And he's watching for you to align your tongue with what he's already said. He's looking throughout the whole earth, to and fro, wanting to show himself strong in your marriage, in your body, in your finances. Amen? He's your high priest. He's the one sent before the throne of God. And he is our advocate. And as he watches over his word, and as he hears your word, he said, oh, there's Pastor Tom. There's Ray. There's Jamar. Who, they're saying what I said. Angels go. Put into motion that which is needed. And that is my message for today. My name is Mark Thomas. I agree with this message in Jesus' name. Stand up, everybody. Glory to God.